Let me tell you about the chicken grease. Stuff some things to make the people get out the seat. Everybody is good if you wanna clap your hands.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Fairway. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring satisfying tidbits of food culture. Our show hosts real conversations from everyday people navigating our food system and weekly chats with leaders in the world of sustainable food. Today, we'll be talking food obsession in the media and growing food and justice for all initiative. Joe Pompeo wrote in the New York Observer, "Water cooler chit chat has changed. They used to talk about sex and politics and TV shows. Now they can't stop yapping about what they're shoving down their pie holes." In the studio, we have Adriana Velez. Adriana is a food writer and activist living in Brooklyn. She blogs at What I Made for Dinner and previously wrote for Cookie Magazine Food Blog. Adriana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
So what do you think of the term foodiots?
Foodiots? Everyone loves a carnival. Everyone loves to, it's always fun to make fun of obsessive types. And there's always good reason to make fun of obsessive types. I think there's one part of the foodiot business that's just about a community of people who love food and love talking about it and want to know what other people are eating and so on. And then there's also a competitive element to it. It's always going to turn off the people who don't understand why we're so obsessed. Obsession is so mockable.
The online article, I think that article was actually in Good Magazine. They have a food blog. Mm-hmm. And I think they define foodiots as people who blog, tweet, or photograph all things food. So that's kind of their definition. I'm sure other people would have some other things to kind of throw in the mix. What do you think?
I think part of what the idiocy that they're aiming at with the foodiot is when it seems gratuitous or overdone, when it extends beyond what is sharing and informative and helpful to others, and when it just goes totally overboard and it's like every single little thing that you ever eat. I think that's what they think of as foodiots. I think a lot of us actually do want. I want to know what everybody else bought at the New Amsterdam market.
Right.
I want to know what I missed. I want to know what someone else had that was really good. But and I actually tweeted from it. So I just got back from, you know, Queens County Farm got the most beautiful purple mustard greens. I don't know that anybody cares, but
some argue that people who are blogging about New Amsterdam market and putting up recipes and writing reviews on restaurants, that they're actually amateurs. Is this an argument or a ploy to keep readers from reading traditional magazines, you think? Or
I think this is much more about keeping the conversation going. And there's a huge swath of people who care passionately about food. Some of them are professionals with years and years of experience, years of culinary and writing experience, who are very authoritative. Others of us are just learning, and you learn about food by tasting it, by experiencing it, but also by talking about it, by sharing, by daring to go out there and expose how inexperienced you are. And then because you are in this community, quite often an online community, then other people can come in and help inform you. It's a way of sharing. I think I think if you're really serious about it and you're really paying attention and you're you're using your critical faculties, you'll learn who's more experienced. I mean, I don't think you would come to my blog to learn how to cook like Julia Child cooks. You know, I'm just this, you can tell by looking at my blog, I'm just this home cook trying to make a meal for my family. I think if you go to Smitten Kitchen, you're going to get a whole other level.
I love Smitten Kitchen.
Yes.
She had the best with apple cider donuts recently on there.
I saw those.
Beautiful pictures. So speaking of traditional food media and online communities, you wrote two terrific pieces on Zachary Cohen's Farm to Table blog, and both you discussed Gourmet Magazine and the next wave of food publishing. I just want to highlight a few points or have you talk about, expand on some of the things you talked about. The first one was the politics of the plate and Barry Easterbrook's column that was in Gourmet Magazine. Well, it actually was not in the magazine. It was an online feature. Could you talk a little bit about that? And
right, Easterbrook. He wrote about food issues, not just about cooking, and he went beyond food cooking and restaurants and that sort of thing, and he looked at food from behind the curtain. So what's happening in farm politics? How does our food get here? A lot of these issues that are starting to become really important to people and are helping us to really look at our food system and help us make better informed decisions when we purchase our food, and helps us learn to ask our politicians for different kinds of policy to support the kind of food system that we think will be best for us.
What do you say to Gourmet Magazine not having that in their print when they were around and having it online? I guess that's the...
Was it kind of a side thing? I don't know. I think she touched on it a bit in the magazine, but I think I think they may have thought that it was too political for the print version. Like the print version had its mission and it was more aesthetic, sensual. And then Easterbrook was a bit too far into the political side. I think you could get political in the print version sometimes, but it was always cloaked within a more culinary context.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I mean, we're talking about a magazine that was, 70 years old?
Yeah.
So you have to strike a balance.
I think so. I think it would have been interesting if Gourmet had been allowed to live a little longer. It would have been interesting to see if that would move closer to the center of the magazine, to the print version. I think that would have been really great, and there may have been great demand for that.
You actually wrote in one of the articles, I can't remember the title of the one, to the guy, there's a guy on Twitter, at Save Gourmet. You gave him some advice. I thought that was perfect. Can you just share that last little paragraph of the last article when you gave him advice on how to save Gourmet Magazine?
Oh yeah, it's a woman actually. Sorry, I didn't come prepared with her name. I've already spaced it, but she has a blog called Save Gourmet, and she is at this stage. She's mostly exploring what comes next. How do we save this magazine that we love? And she's actually really smart about it. I think we're actually pretty well aligned. I give her a shout out when I say I'm talking to you, Save Gourmet. But but I think she's pretty well clued into to some of the same ideas I am as well.
Definitely, I think the ideas that you mentioned, again, we'll have a link on our tag where you can link to Adriana's blog about Save Gourmet, and I forget the title of the other one. But I want to talk about how you mention Food 52 really quickly as a model of what magazines will be now.
Well,
or more so sharing food stuff.
Right. Well, you know, I think what we're seeing more and more on the internet is community building. And I think a lot of people feel threatened, Chris Kimball, feel threatened by that because they feel like authority and history and heritage will be lost because we're all a bunch of amateurs just vomiting whatever comes first to mind. I think Food 52 is an interesting example because it is they are creating a community and there is a lot of user input, but it's being guided by two very good editors, Meryl and...
We should tell some of our listeners, some people may not know, what exactly Food 52 is.
Yeah. Food 52, founded by Amanda Hesser and Meryl. What's her last name?
Stubbs.
Yes. And basically, they are creating a crowdsourced cookbook. Every week, they have a contest. There are two dishes, like, say, a ham and cheese sandwich and a fruit pastry. Everyone sends in recipes. Amanda and Meryl test those recipes. They narrow it down to two finalists for each category. And then the users vote on those two finalists. And whoever wins is going to go in the cookbook. So it's a pretty exciting idea.
Very innovative, definitely. Well, you're going to stay around for the next segment. And we're going to go to a short break. And we'll be back with more with Adriana. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. We're continuing our conversation with Adriana Velez. Currently, Adriana is building the online community for Brooklyn Food Coalition and creating great meals for her son, Jasper. Cookie Magazine crumbled with Gourmet, but the online website is still up. I saw that last night.
Yeah.
And you wrote some terrific pieces about food for kids. What are your current glossy or online sources for families in creating meals?
Thank you. It's definitely a challenge. I think what the smart thing that Cookie did was it recognized the need for family meals, something that will appeal to the children and to the adults. So it wasn't about cooking down to the kids' level. It was about cleverly managing cleverly managing your meals so that they're appealing to everyone and that there's, they're very nutritious and edifying. As far as glossies go, I love Sever. I've subscribed to that for years. I think you have to kind of adjust some of the recipes. They're not mm-hmm. necessarily all family friendly, but a lot of them are actually. It's about authentic cooking. I read Cook's Illustrated, I have just started reading a brand new blog on the in the New York. It's a daily news website called Mothership Meals. It's written by a Brooklyn mom who
interesting.
Is, trying to cook food for her family. I think we all recognize that kids, even in the biggest foodie family, the kids are going to be kind of cranky about different kinds of, about the variety that we want to bring into our homes. She does a good job of kind of taking apart meals so that they appeal to adults and to kids without sacrificing too much.
Have you noticed any foods such as either milk or cheese or pastas that have any great recipes for some people that may not subscribe. I know when people get on budgets and stuff, the first thing they cut are magazine subscriptions. So have you noticed any great food products that are putting recipes on the boxes?
Oh, you know what? They all do that, actually. I think just about any box of pasta is likely to have. I think Barilla usually has recipes on theirs. Gosh, that's a good question. To tell you the truth, I buy almost all of my food is either in pieces, like in the form of produce, or totally. It's bulk foods, or I hardly ever buy packaged food, so I never.
Yeah,
ravioli is great. Frozen ravioli. I rely on that regularly.
You know, there's a segment of people, you know, moving into the sustainable good food movement that are still on the edge, that are still buying prepackaged foods and going to the farmer's market, or some that are not going to the farmer's market at all, but are trying to transition. So that's why I brought that question up about the magazines, recipes, and inspiration outside of magazines.
Where do you go?
Yeah, where do you go?
Exactly.
And then I guess that's a great point that maybe some of the manufacturers of food need to start thinking about having little recipe cards that are very healthy and have local sustainable products into the
that encourage you to chop up some vegetables and add it to whatever is in there.
So you're birthing another baby. We talked about your son Jasper and cooking for him. The Brooklyn Food Coalition online community. What exactly is the Brooklyn Food Coalition?
Okay, well, that's a good question, because I think to a large extent we're still figuring out what that was. In May, we had the Brooklyn Food Conference, which was volunteer-run, grassroots. We all just met for a full day with speakers and workshops and talked about food justice, food sustainability, and other similar issues. And we came out of it with this momentum and this feeling that we should create something as a result where we could, you know, deploy all of this goodwill and excitement. So we formed a coalition. It's basically the main structure of it is it consists of neighborhood chapters, and within those neighborhood chapters, people can decide, a community can decide what kind of things they want to pursue, whether it's to promote the local farmers markets, do more outreach and education within their community, affect policy. There are a lot of different things going on. And then we're also focusing on issue groups. Like we have our first issue group is school food. So within the school food group, we're going to be engaging in both the Child Nutrition Act reauthorization. And we're also going to be looking at compiling all of the different school food type programs, school gardens, cookshop classroom, things like that, compiling all of this information so that we can share with each other all the really great good food programs that are happening around the schools.
Is this coalition open to anyone in Brooklyn?
Absolutely. Yes. If you are interested, one of the things you can do is contact our neighborhood organizer, Erica Lonesome, and you can reach her at, I believe it's erica.brooklynfoodconference@gmail.com. You can go to our website, which is in beta. It's not quite done, but it's still totally utilizable. Brooklynfoodcoalition.org. You can join a community there. You can find out when your neighborhood meeting is going to be. And you can get involved. You can get involved in a number of ways, whether you're techie or not. You can
so
get in there.
What's the end goal of the online community in terms of motivating and inspiring Brooklyn food activists, as well as people who may be activists in other social issues? What's the main goal of Brooklyn Food Coalition in terms of that?
Online? Okay, well, we've got a few different things going on. One is ultimately, and some groups are doing this already, organizing online. So you're within your neighborhood group, you're talking about where are we meeting next, what should we talk about, sharing articles. We have an events calendar, so you can find out not just Brooklyn Food Coalition activities, but any sort of food-related events happening. We also have a forum where we have posted policy items that we're trying to get pushed,
right.
Questions people have, and so on. So right now, at this point, it might be less about inspiration and more about just getting stuff done.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so there's a website. I think there's actually a Twitter account as well.
We are on Twitter. It's BKLYN food, COLTN.
And this may be a crazy question, but I have to ask this. Because, you know, everybody's not on Facebook, Twitter. Is there a phone number or anything?
A phone number? Oh, no.
You don't have to tell us now, but I'm just curious to know for some people that may not be.
I don't have a phone number. I know they got one. But good. You know what? I can post it on the website.
That's perfect.
Prominent place. I'll try to do that.
Well, thank you for joining us here on Hot Grease. If you would like to tell our listeners where about your blog, sure. Link, please do that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm at whatimadefordinner.squarespace.com.
And you tweet at?
Adriana V.
Thank you so much for stopping by Hot Grease.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break.
Bienvenue, welcome to the Roots, the
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Fairway. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. This Friday, individuals and community-based organizations will gather in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the second annual Growing Food and Justice for All initiative. This event is being hosted by Growing Power. Growing Power is led by Will Allen, the 2008 MacArthur Genius Grant awardee. In the studio, we have Asantewa Harris. She's a Brooklyn native currently living in the Village of Harlem and the founder of Community Vision. Asantewa enjoys membership in Africanic Holistic Health New York chapter and in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Healthy People to 2020 Consortium. Welcome, Asantewa.
Thank you so much.
So what is the Growing Food and Justice for All initiative?
It happened last year at a gathering in Milwaukee, as you said. It was sponsored by Growing Power, and Growing Power was founded by Will Allen, a genius of a man who developed urban growing and urban gardening in Milwaukee. Growing Food and Justice for All invited folks from all over the country, and there also were people from Canada as well that attended.
Wow.
So it was just a wonderful attendance and opportunity to meet people who were growing their own, looking to grow their own, eating healthy, eating from farms and gardens.
Last year's gathering has actually a YouTube page with participant testimonials. And some of the comments included the lack of people of color in policymaking and decision-making roles in the good food movement. What are your thoughts on that? I actually saw your testimonial. Okay. They had people from all over the country talking about their experience there. So what are your thoughts?
Yes, I think the aim was, again, looking at dismantling racism in the food system. So obviously, for those of us who are residents of New York City who are in the food movement, we are not seeing the inclusion of people of color in leadership and policymaking. So it was an opportunity to raise that and look at other cities and see what kind of successes they have had and approaches they took.
Yeah, according to Growing Food and Justice for All website, they're striving to create a network of activists who are growing, working toward a just food system, working with groups and individuals aimed at dismantling racism and empowering low-income and communities of color through sustainable and local agriculture. Some of the workshops or the titles of some of the workshops at this year's gathering include Building a Racially Inclusive Community Garden and Good Food for All People of Color. How do you think the workshops and the sessions will affect the New York delegation traveling to the conference?
I think it'll be inspiring. I think there may be three or four of us from a delegation that's currently emerging that attended last year.
Oh, okay.
So for some of us, this is our second year. And I can testify that some of the members, we came back to New York. Some of us gathered together at the CUNY Social Forum at City University, at City College of New York last year. And we established the Green Thumb Brigade. And members of the Green Thumb Brigade have already planted for this year in their home gardens, in community gardens, rooftop gardens. So inspiration is definitely one of the areas that Will Allen has focused on is vertical growing.
Right.
Vertical farming.
It's beautiful what he's doing in Milwaukee.
Absolutely amazing to see just food everywhere you look growing. Tomatoes, greens, chard. Then you'd see fish and worms, and they're just right in the same environment, in the same space. And it's all edible. So it kind of, it's all contributing to eating healthier. So that was wonderful.
So part of the gathering included a tour of Will Allen's Growing Power Farm there. And did you guys visit any other sites, or will you visit this year any other sites in Milwaukee?
We will visit some this year. Last year, two of us participated in the Growing Power Intensive.
Okay,
so
what's that?
Those are the workshops right there at the site. And I did greenhouse building. And it was wonderful to get six hoops up.
Wow.
In a one-day session. So that was amazing. Iya Olotunji, let me give her a shout-out. She'll join us again this year. And she did vermiculture, I believe.
Wow.
So we're learning something that we can bring back home.
So speaking of the New York delegation and folks that actually attended the initiative or gathering last year, tell us about the Brooklyn Farms Ball that's happening this Tuesday.
Yes, we're holding the Brooklyn Farmers Ball as a fundraiser to underwrite scholarships for our delegates. And it's been just absolutely amazing. There's been an urban-rural exchange between activists and farmers as far north as Vermont. And gathering together, looking at resources and ways of exchanging and building community. So we're looking forward to everybody coming out to the Brooklyn Lyceum on Tuesday when we have our Brooklyn Farmers Ball.
I think we have to touch on, so if people are listening, just the diversity of people that are participating in the Farmers Ball and the diversity of people that will be traveling to Milwaukee. If you could just touch on this. This is just not about people of color traveling to Milwaukee, but all people really learning how to effectively communicate with people of color in the food system.
Let me give you an example. Iya Olutunji celebrated her 80th birthday 2 weeks ago in Bed-Stuy. And the Food Security Roundtable, which is the Farmers Network, brought in truckloads of produce. And one of the farm assistants said she was from Oregon.
Wow.
And that was her first time being in New York City. And there she was in Bed-Stuy at Iya's birthday celebration. So those kinds of exchanges are very important. And it's, again, what we know that assists in building community.
So the Brooklyn Farmers Ball, I'm looking here to see if they have a website. It's Tuesday, October 27th. Mm-hmm. Is there a website or a contact
there
email?
There is. It's foodpower.org. And there are, let's see, Wasaic Community Farm, which is in Wasaic, New York. African Zion Organic Roots Farm, which is a farm family that was our first farmer for our farmer's market here in Bushwick. Let me give a shout out to all of my Bushwick neighbors and friends.
So back in 2005. Okay.
2005, we launched with African Zion Organic Roots Farm.
So where exactly in Bushwick was that first?
We were on Linden Street between Central and Wilson, right behind the health station. And then we did a Saturday market 2007 on Knickerbocker Avenue. And those sites, I think they moved south to Linden, Broadway, and Bushwick, but it's still on Linden Street, and the Knickerbocker Avenue is still
up. Wow, 2005. Still going strong.
Yeah.
Congrats. Thanks. So to all the folks who want more information on the Brooklyn Farmers Ball, which it's a fundraiser to support the Northeastern Delegation of Farmers, community organizers, activists, students to attend the Growing Food and Justice Initiative Gathering. You can get more information at growingfoodandjustice.org. And some of the partners include the Food Security Roundtable, Just Food, Asantewa's Organization, Community Vision Councils, Mothers on the Move, Growing Power, Inc., and the Varum Collective?
Mm-hmm. The Varum Collective is a bus that runs on vegetable oil, and our delegates are traveling. Many of our delegates are traveling.
Ah, interesting. That is very interesting. Asantewa, do you have any other information you want to give out? I know you're all, every time I see you, you always have a wealth of knowledge and inspiration for me of any events, food related, that's going on in New York.
I know that there's, I just recently saw something, and it's not, it's in Long Island, and it's a stage production about agriculture.
Mm.
Because what we have to have is a multimedia approach
wow.
to getting our message out. So it will be held during the time that we're away. And I just emailed folks to ask for those who are going to be here in the city if they would travel out. And I don't, I'll forward that information to you. But it is, I think it's the 31st, October 31st.
Okay, we'll definitely put it on the Hot Grease tags. Asantewa, thank you for joining us at Hot Grease
thank
today.
You so
and
much.
We look forward to having you again soon.
Good, thank you.
Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on the Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.